is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon, and thanks for being here today. We're going to tackle the topic of domestic violence today. Melanie Premer is the Executive Director at Peace at Home Advocacy Center. And Catherine Ellisar, coordinator for the Douglas County Task Force on Family Violence, with us as well. Thanks for being on for both of you today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, Melanie, we talked to you back, I think, in March as things were going through the starting point of the COVID-19 situation. What's it been like since then for Peace at Home?
Yeah, when we met last time, you know, things were relatively quiet in terms of calls to our crisis line. And we, although our doors were closed, we were still open 24/7 operating. What has shifted is we have continued to implement policy to create safe spaces for the people we serve, our community members and our staff. But we have opened our doors now and have limited office hours for people to be able to walk in. And we continue, of course, to take calls on our crisis line. And what has shifted there is we are receiving an increase in calls and referrals from community partners. And we can talk more about this as well. But we've also seen not just an increase in calls, but an increase in severity of the violence in our community.
Wow. And during this, we've heard about this from various places, both in our community, statewide, and nationally as well. It's the impact of a very stressful time. And even for folks whose life was fairly trouble-free, it's been stressful. For people who already had a troubled life, it's been off the charts. And for a lot of folks, very hard to cope with everything from loss of job, trouble trying to get unemployment, and lots of other factors that probably contribute to these stressful situations and lead to more folks calling you for help.
Yeah, I think that people are feeling more isolated. People have fewer opportunities to reach out for help because it may not be safe to do that. I think people have fewer connections. I think, you know, when you are working, you have a peer group that you connect with even in your workplace or even in church, and people aren't able to go to church and lots of different places. And so those connections are much fewer for people.
And I've read as well that different agencies that deal with folks that are mandatory reporters have talked about the number of reports going down dramatically. For instance, schools have been online, and so issues there that perhaps a teacher or some other school employee might notice and might question, and it might lead to further investigation. When they're not physically seeing people, it's hard to know what's going on when you're just having verbal communications, even whether they're, you know, on a Zoom call or whatever.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, we get referrals from lots of different places, including people self-referring themselves for our services. But we have had, like I had mentioned, an increase in referrals from some of our community partners. And probably 3 times more referrals compared to other sources from Department of Human Services, which have since COVID, we've had over 60 referrals from DHS. And from law enforcement, we've had over 110 referrals.
Wow. Now, Catherine Ellisar, prior to coming on board in this position, you were the Regional Program Development Director for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, CASA, of Douglas and Curry Counties. How long have you been with Peace at Home?
I just started March 1st. It's a pleasure to start then.
And talk about your role as the coordinator for the Douglas County Task Force on Violence. What kind of work are you doing with that?
It's all about advocacy for these vulnerable situations, and it's about collaboration. And I've always, all of my work has always been around that, you know, whether it was back with CASA and working with vulnerable children. You know, we often saw families had undergone domestic violence. That was just very common, that was part of the crisis that, you know, created the abuse of children. And so I saw during that time, and I saw early on when I started working here 47 years ago in Douglas County, that I was working at a center here in town that most of the parents were single parents. And, you know, the challenges that they faced, with a limited resources and everything. But then if on top of that, they endured domestic violence, the challenges, of course, were just even greater, you know, figuring out safe and stable housing to just keeping their child and themselves safe from their abusers. So the task force, the mission is centered around agencies collaborating and creating this prevention focus and then enhancing victim and survivor safety. And, of course, increasing the accountability of batterers and abusers. A lot of that is through education, through our community and interventions, through our partnerships and collaborations. So we meet regularly, and it's just really fascinating to see everyone's role in our community. And by communicating more, we can problem solve and hopefully contribute a lot to the prevention of further family violence in our community.
And I imagine as well, when you've got these different folks meeting together, that it lessens the potential for people, for situations to kind of fall through the cracks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we do a lot of work in between then. You know, we're in the process of developing some protocols for advocates to work with law enforcement so that they can go out on calls if need be. So that referrals will be made quickly. A lot of work in the details between agencies. It really helps a lot in that prevention effort.
So Melody,
yeah, go ahead.
Talk more about how the task force came about.
Yeah, so there were several partners that had approached me to take a lead on putting this coalition of agencies together. So I worked on building some capacity to do that, so being able to have staff time to invest in creating a coalition. So we called our first meeting, and we had 17 community partners attend, and what came out of that was just we had a very candid conversation about violence in our community, and what was a common theme among all of our community partners is that we want to prevent homicide in our community. And one of the topics we were discussing was about 54% of mass shootings, there is domestic violence involved. And so how can we as a community prevent homicide and mass shootings? And that was really our commonality. And then we're able to dig deeper on some of the issues. And then also, as Catherine mentioned, build capacity for our interventions to be more effective.
So are there organizations similar to this task force in other parts of the state, or is this kind of a new idea?
Yeah, there are. And we actually, Catherine had Multnomah County come down and do a presentation earlier this year to talk about their program that has been more established. And they're also doing, their law enforcement are out doing what are called danger assessments so they can assess risk in their community. And so they were providing us with some tools and guidance and also some lesson learned in their community that would be helpful for us as we continue to move forward.
Catherine, talk more about some of the things you learned from the folks in Multnomah County.
Well, the danger assessment was really fascinating. There's been a lot of research on that. And so they use this regularly, and so we've had our different agencies looking at this, but it was developed by Dr. Jacqueline Campbell back out east, and she looked at many different factors that were common in murder victims of domestic violence, and out of researching all that, she developed a tool that law enforcement can use or advocates can use for victims. And it's a simple, like about 10 question tool, as well as a calendar where the victim can mark, you know, when did these situations happen? Because sometimes if you're just speaking to someone, they're focused on the last one, of course, maybe the most intense. But at this team in Multnomah, they were talking about how victims then started remembering and seeing a pattern to what had occurred. And so it helps to empower that victim in figuring out what resources they need to move through that. And I just really saw how the collaboration worked well with that office. In fact, they have an office where there's law enforcement present, the task force coordinator, an advocate, and another position. They're all right there. So they work very closely together.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Melanie Premer and Catherine Elazar, our guests this afternoon, looking at domestic violence in Douglas County during this time of COVID-19. Interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's program, we're going to go in a lighter direction. We're going to have a wine in the Umpqua program. Dyson Amara of Hillcrest Vineyards with us tomorrow. We'll talk about some of the challenges that grape growers in Douglas County are facing due to COVID-19, and also what Dyson thinks the wine, the crop looks like this year, the grape crop as they get ready to make more Umpqua Valley wine. That'll be on tomorrow's program. We're talking about domestic violence today. Melanie Premer, Executive Director of Peace at Home Advocacy Center, used to be called Battered Persons Advocacy. Catherine Elazar, Coordinator for the Douglas County Task Force on Family Violence. So, Melanie, is the task force then a part of Peace at Home, or what's the relationship there?
Well, actually, that's a really great question. The task force, we are one of the member agencies that makes up the coalition, and the coalition decided, as we pursued some funding through a federal grant, that Peace at Home Advocacy Center would be the fiscal agent. So we are the so we manage the money, and of course I'm the employer of the coordinator, but really we are just a member like all of the other agencies in Douglas County who have joined the coalition.
You mentioned a lot of agencies, probably don't have time to list all of them, but give folks kind of a picture of some of the other agencies that are involved in this group.
Yeah, so of course we've mentioned law enforcement, Cow Creek Tribe, Mercy Foundation, including the Up to Us Now Child Abuse Prevention Coalition, Department of Human Services, the Public Defender's Office, Legal Aid, Douglas Cares. There's so many of us. I believe there's 21 partners.
So during this challenging time for everyone, Catherine, what were some of the effects of the COVID-19, of social distancing, on the efforts of the task force?
Well, we've been able to focus online. We'll be having like a Zoom meeting here coming up with the district attorney's victim services team speaking to the coalition, and we're looking forward to that. And then it's been a time of collaboration with law enforcement as I'm meeting different officers around the county. Recently, Sutherland, Captain Sorensen, who was on with Melanie back in March, we're working with him developing the protocols I talked about earlier, with advocates to go out on calls. And then we have been working with Reedsport Police Department and provided an updated legal brochure for them. And just a lot of online work. You know, we're developing a website that the task force, all the members are looking it over and giving input right now. And so it's been a time of, for me getting to know this, everyone. There was a pause there for a while as everyone is dealing with, the emergencies of COVID initially. But now I feel like we've been very productive, and we can't help but really focus our efforts in this direction. Back to that Dr. Campbell's work with the danger assessment, one of the elements she saw that contributes to, unfortunately, murders happening from domestic violence is unemployment. And so, when I just looked up the statistics during this time with COVID, it's close to 2 million unemployed individuals in the country. And so we really understand that this is a time that we have to be alert, and we have to continue our collaboration and problem solving.
And Melanie, as you talk to folks that do the similar kind of work that your organization does in other places, are you hearing similar data, similar stories about the last 3 months?
Yes, it is very similar. I think that all of us are finding creative ways to house people, and we've been really fortunate to have support to do that. Many agencies have temporarily closed their shelters, but have been able to house people in motels or hotels. We've done sort of a hybrid program and are doing both sheltering and as well as hotels, which we did that prior to COVID, but the need for, the need has increased, and so we're doing more of that. One of the things that has been really great in our county is that we have had some financial resources that we have not had previously. And so just since COVID, we have been able to provide emergency financial assistance, which might include helping people get into housing to over about 40 people. And so that might be helping pay applications, fees for people, or even pay their rent. And so there are other DV agencies across the state who have also received this funding so that we can provide more support through December.
I'm curious, you were talking earlier about folks contacting you. And when I think about situations where, let's say, both folks are out of work and the kids are home for education and all of that, and there are issues or domestic violence or things approaching that level, how do people sort of sneak off and make those phone calls to even get a hold of you? That would seem like an extra challenge.
It is. And so that's why I think our call volume has been less. But we've seen other ways in which survivors are accessing us. People are emailing, but that's not always safe either. But where we have seen a shift is that other people in the community are calling us. So whether it's a family member or a friend, we've had church members, pastors themselves, we've had other community agencies reach out and find out more about our services. And so they're doing referrals. We've worked with the public defender's office and they're making referrals. And so I think that's where we've seen an increase, is other people trying to make those connections for individuals who are isolated or it's unsafe to do that themselves. And so I'm going to give a quick shout out to Catherine and Lieutenant Root at the Douglas County Jail, because this has been a very new development for us, where we have also been able to be in contact with the jail and also ensure that if somebody is arrested and there has been domestic violence in the past, and so it's a survivor who's been arrested, and of course there's lots of circumstances surrounding that, ensuring that they're also connected to services, and when they are released, that they're able to receive the support that they need from Peace at Home.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. For people in the community that are listening, how can they be involved in the mission you have with the task force?
Oh, thanks for asking about that. As I said, education is a key part of it. So feel free, members, anyone can call or email me to set up a talk with their church or their service club, or even for businesses, for their employees. And I'd be glad to do that in person, but with my mask, or via Zoom or whatever. We have GoToMeeting that we've purchased. So any online platform, Skype, I'd be glad to work that out with someone. It's an important thing to do, because oftentimes someone might have a relative or an employee that they realize could use some extra information and some more resources to find a path out of that situation.
And if folks want to contact you, what's the best phone number to call?
541-670-5671.
Catherine Ellis, our coordinator for the Douglas County Task Force on Family Violence. And Melanie Premer, Executive Director of Peace at Home Advocacy Center. Thanks to both of you for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
1257 and News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.